Thank you, Deacon, for proclaiming the gospel. Once more, on behalf of us all, I want to extend congratulations to those of you who have chosen to receive the sacrament of confirmation. You know, we are often in our community, whenever we are able, to get to an ordination of the priesthood to remember our own priesthood ordination. For those of us who are religious people, we take vows of poverty, chastity, obedience. We are encouraged to go to our community's professions. We remember our own profession and renew our vows. It's the same in the sacramental life. When you see a baptism, we're reminded of our own baptisms, though most of us were too young to remember them. You see First Holy Communions. They say Catholics always remember their First Holy Communion day. First Confessions. Whenever we see children going for First Confessions, we remember that event for us and maybe are reminded to also approach the mercy of God in confession. Confirmation, well, the purpose, as you know, of confirmation is to receive an increase of God's grace. It's confirming our baptismal vows that, again, a lot of it don't remember due to our youth or infancy. And so it's an opportunity now as an adult with full consent to say yes to God that I will be faithful to what the Catholic Church teaches. And so it's a serious proclamation of conviction that I believe in what the Catholic Church stands for and what she believes. And it's done in front of God and everybody because the sacraments are supposed to be public actions. Although, of course, reconciliation is the most private of the seven sacraments, still it affects us the most publicly because it's a healing of the sinfulness and the wounds that go on that kind of help us or influence us to close down. And so when we receive grace in that sacrament, it kind of propels us forward, as the gospel said, to give to others what we've received, and remembering that what's bound on the church is bound in heaven, and so on, and we are bound by what the church teaches, especially by the sacramental system. And especially when it comes to our baptisms and confirmation, you are renewing this. You do not cooperate with the devil, his sin whisperings, the power of suggestion of his, and his negative influences. And you do believe, and you profess today from your hearts and minds, that the Holy Spirit has called you to this moment to believe in the Father. He is the creating God who sends us the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And the two of them send us the Sanctifier, the one who calls us to be holy and healthy and whole, the Holy Spirit. So God does everything. He gives us what we need. Now our job, our task, as you will, is to align our will to doing His will, and there's the rub. Because too many times in our culture, certainly going on in the United States of America, but not exclusively, as you well know, there is a lot that is demonic or Luciferian. There is a lot of the selfishness. There is a lot of challenging of what the church teaches, what Jesus Christ proclaimed. There's a lot of challenging and belief of the role of the Blessed Mother in salvation history. There's a lot of challenges, and pushback to what goes on. Probably now, more than ever in a long time. And so what's going on in our culture is known as sinfulness. Sin means to miss the bullseye. The bullseye are the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. The bullseye are the two greatest commandments in the New, loving God, my neighbor, myself, with thy whole heart, mind, and soul. It's this constant conviction. And we see what's going on in the world goes against what the Holy Spirit gives us, particularly in the sacraments, most especially in this one. He gives us here unity. He gives us peace. He gives us strength. He gives us an increased willingness to do what we're supposed to do by keeping the commandments and living in peace and extending peace and being instrument of peace. It isn't so much what God is doing for me, it's what God can do through me. And please, I just remind you, by the fact that you were confirmed, you are saying publicly that you will be one of those workers in his vineyard, if you will, one of those sheep led by the shepherd, one of those faithfulness, in the midst of a lot of faithlessness. And so we need your example of what you're doing. 20 young people here today, like 72 people a week ago or so, who were adolescents who received the sacrament of confirmation. We need to do this to act out our promises. It's Thomas Aquinas' definition of taking a stand. And we need that today because of what's going on in the world. And you know well what's going on in the world. What's going on in the world? I don't think it's too dramatic. It's actually the reality to say that there is a lot of destruction that's going on, particularly in the moral fiber of this country. Destruction comes from the Greek word to destroy, diabolical. Whenever you see a breakdown of the moral core, whether in an individual or a marriage or a family or a business or how one conducts one's life or how a government is run, and it goes against the gospel values, which certainly happens in this presidency with this government, a pseudo-Catholic who doesn't act on his Catholicism, a vice president that would get up publicly and say, remember what the Constitution is about, liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. She left out life. Of course she would, with the pro-abortion stance that goes on. We go on ad nauseam about these things, though the church shouldn't mention these things and get involved in politics. The church is supposed to be the conscience of a society, and yes, the government. Yes, there is a separation of church and state. That comes from a theocracy that went on in Europe at the time of the revolution, from the Brits at the time, whenever there was an imposition. So the point of being a despot, of people having to follow laws that were sometimes, on the part of the church as well as politicians, anything but the gospel. Workers were not treated to a just wage, and we could go on. But the Catholicism, Christianity, is about confronting that which is as negative and calling ourselves to arm ourselves, not only with what the church teaches, but also our prayer life, most especially the rosary. Because we have this confirmation, I'm going to get to the point. And if you're offended, you're just going to have to be offended. I am so tired of people worrying about be offended when you speak the truth. Well, if you're offended, when we're offended, maybe we better rethink our thinking and our value judgment, because this is the stuff of God and formal revelation of how we get to heaven. And the devil doesn't want that. And yes, the devil exists, as does hell. And he's the sin whisperer, and he seduces us. He's very seductive about, oh, you don't have to do this or that. Sure, it's okay to live together without being married. It's perfectly all right to have sexual intercourse with anybody that comes along, to be promiscuous. Oh, it's perfectly all right to have an abortion. After all, it's the woman's choice. You know this agenda as well as, if not better than I do. You live out there. I'm certainly impacted with it in the sacrament of confession. It's an anti-gospel. Let's say it for what it is. And the influence that brings that to us is not at all interested in our eternal salvation. It's wine, women, and song. Enjoy the day while you have it. Carpe diem, seize the day. Has nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to do with holiness and wholeness. I'm going to read you, and this will finish it, what I got from someone this past week who shall remain nameless at their request. They're not members of this parish. It's an old friend of mine. He's a father, grandfather, business owner, good Catholic, practices the faith, wants his kids to go to heaven. After all, that's what parents are responsible for, with along with you, to get them to heaven. And how you do that is by what's bound on earth is bound in heaven, except for that whole keeping of the law of love and morality, which is the reason we are baptized, is to keep morality alive. I have a male cousin and a female cousin who are homosexuals. My lesbian cousin calls herself a lesbanian as she's throwing around what she does in her life and the community that she identifies with. In her youth, she went along with the promiscuity, which now she regrets because she says, you know, the promiscuity and what's going on with the LA Dodgers are giving the rest of us that are trying to be faithful a bad name. We're not bad people. We're as weak as everybody else. We try to live a good moral life in the struggle. She says the majority of them do, but they get bad press and now they're celebrated, much to my cousins who are practicing Catholics, consternation, because they see that this is not the core teaching of our Catholic faith or Christianity. It has nothing to do with civility, and again, with keeping morality alive. So I had sent him something about this Target fiasco. They've been having this feeding the pride mentality of the gay movement in this country for 10 years. I guess they pulled out all the stops recently in their consumerism, and there's been a pushback, as you know, as there is with the Budweiser Light, as there are with the LA Dodgers and so on. And he says to me, "And who is to blame? We, the remnant of faithful Catholics, are to blame. When they started their filth, that is Target, and perversion over a decade ago, my wife and I stopped shopping there. But faithful friends and family who were Catholic still shop there, as though we can live without their communist Chinese junk made by poor child sweat shop slaves." Boy, there's a mouthful. "We all just pinch our noses, sigh, and continue shopping at these places that push an anti-Catholic, anti-family, anti-normal, anti-human agenda. True, it doesn't help us when so many shepherds, meaning the bishops, fail to be bold and speak out about these days. But we as the laity have to really stand up and be counted. Those of you who are being confirmed, this is the mandate you are saying yes to. No more lukewarm 1980s and 90s Catholic comfort time, folks." And boy, do I remember those days. "I think by the time it comes to a boycott, it's already too late. Otherwise, we've had no place to eat or get dressed. We have to change the culture to where companies would tremble at the thought of doing something so perverse and blasphemous. And that means we have to change our families. That means we have to each get serious about our daily faith and the reality of the sacred, which centers on the Holy Eucharist and adoration and our sacraments." He says to me, "I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we can't just let Budweiser and Target make a feeble half apology and then go back to shopping there, feeding their insults and threats to us and our children's souls. I say we take it all the way, break them financially, and send a clear signal that we are sick of companies going after our faith, going after our children." There's a video, he informs me, of a guy who went into Target with some very spicy language, pointed out their satanic junk, and then called out, "Where's the display for Memorial Day? You know, the men and women who died for this country and for families?" Then he walks outside and he points to people who are coming and says, "You're to blame, and you're to blame, and you're to blame." Anyway, he says, "I'm down here," and he names a town here in Texas. "We are organizing to have public rosaries and reparations for the messages of Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady's protection is the only way this nation doesn't burn by its own hand of succumbing to modern conveniences and spiritual sloth and laziness. Please take time today," he says, referring to this day and Memorial Day tomorrow, "to remember the many souls who have died for this country. We owe it to them, and most importantly to God, to stand up and be brave and to say no more." He ends with, "And yes, I'm old enough to remember these days. By the 1950s, Catholics were on the verge of making this a Catholic nation. We need to get there again." What he's referring to, there was a time when there was a Catholic vote, a block vote. that Catholics would weigh what was being said by a particular candidate for any office. Where does this fit into the deposit of faith of what the church teaches? That has been lost, and it's not anybody's fault who is a layperson. It's just that those who were in charge of teaching the faith, that includes bishops as well as clergy, they didn't do their job, getting distracted after the Second Vatican Council about turning the altar around and having mass in the language of the country, and so on and so forth. And the sense of the sacred was lost simultaneous to 1974 when abortion became legal in this country. And people were so dizzy with the newness of what might be happening in supposedly adjusting the theology, which is another name for heresy, to fit the times, that they weren't paying attention to the fact that the devil is in the details and people were not learning their faith. They didn't know their theology, their spirituality, what the catechism teaches, the lives of the saints, the importance of the Holy Rosary, the devotions like the miraculous medal, novenas that we pray, scapulars, paying attention to fast days, going to Mass whenever we are able in the weekdays, certainly never missing Sunday Mass. It was unheard of. Well, that was then, and this is now. We have our own reparations in these times that Our Lady gave us, our Blessed Mother and her many apparitions. Back in Ecuador, in the 1600s, Our Lady appeared to a young nun, gave her a series of messages about this century, and she would say, in those days, there will be a loss of faith. The devil will be everywhere. She says, in the 16th century, men will want to be women, and women will want to be men. When I was growing up reading that, that would have seemed so foreign to me. Now, people yawn at the thought of it, and many, even Catholics, applaud it and encourage it. How far we have gone from the proclamation of the faith and what the church teaches, and how the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, but only if we know what the church teaches. Otherwise, we buy the drivel and the anti-gospel that is going on in this world. But I have to speak especially of the United States of America, because the Catholic bloc have been lost. More and more Catholics and Christians declare themselves to be atheists or agnostic. We haven't had times like this in centuries. And as Our Lady has said at Akita, Japan, in the 1970s and 80s, and she is reappearing to a nun, Sister Agnes Sawagawa, that these are days are worse than the times of Noah. And you know what happened in those sinful times. People were horribly punished because they didn't do penance, amend their lives, embrace the truth and conversion. Our Lady gives us messages. First of all, the Sacred Heart did. In the 17th century, when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary and gave her the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, he appeared to St. Faustina Kowalska in the 1930s, saying to her, "My children have forgotten the devotion to the Sacred Heart and the promises. I am reintroducing it, and now I am calling this the Divine Mercy that flows from his heart, beginning with baptism, and most especially in the Eucharist." He asked for the First Fridays, for people to go to Mass on First Fridays and do penance and fast for sin in the world and the conversion of hardened hearts, for knowledge to be given to the ignorant, for a hunger for Almighty God, for our willingness to turn ourselves over to do his will, as it isn't always about what I want and when I want it. That's where we get in trouble. Oh, but wait, there's more. In 1928-29, a couple of years after she appeared at Fatima to the three visionaries, she appeared once more to Saint, now Lucy, and said, "People are not paying attention to the messages of Fatima. Now I am asking for First Saturdays, the five First Saturdays. I ask an atonement for sin in the world and to keep away the wrath of God, who is very offended by what is going on in the world." And that was 1928. I asked for people to gather for Holy Mass on the first 9 Saturdays, make a novena of reparation for conversion of what's going on in the world. He wanted, well, we are meeting, at 7:30, the first Saturdays. At 7:30 in the morning, we say the rosary. Is it a sacrifice we'd love to sleep in? Sure it is. But there's a lot of sloth and laziness that's going on in the world. He's done so much for us. What little thing can we do but give ourselves over to the first 9 Saturdays for conversion of hardened hearts? We are responsible for each other's salvation. We gather the first Saturday of every month at 7:30, we say the rosary. Then she asked for 15 minutes of quiet meditation on the mysteries of the rosary. Then she asked for Mass to be offered. We do that at 8:00. Included in that whole string of devotions is the consecration of ourselves and the whole world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Why? This is to be done in order to make up and do penance for blasphemies against those who turn against Our Lady's role in salvation history. You know, these Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the LA Dodgers, they are attacking Catholicism, most especially religious women and men who take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But not just religious, they're attacking the priesthood. They're attacking you also, anything that has to do with Catholicism. They're mocking especially the sacrifice of religious women, though. And then their banner is, go and sin some more. It's diabolical, folks, and we don't even yawn or are alerted anymore about it. We just yawn at it. So what? It's, you see how accustomed we have become to what Our Lady calls in the 1600s a perversion of customs. That's what's going on. Well, you are Catholic folk, and you have been confirmed as well as baptized and Eucharisted. You go and have your sins forgiven in regular confession. You are full of grace. We have a promise from Our Lady to continue to give ourselves over to penance. I just don't do my penance after I've received absolution. A Catholic does penance every day. I don't indulge in everything that I want. I fast from certain things and attitudes. I'm a person of affirmation, not criticism. I pray my rosary, as Our Lady asked, for people who are well on their way to hell. And yes, there is a hell. She has given these messages at the behest of the Trinity because she is the perfect human being, filled with grace and delivered from original sin, and has the role of being queen of mankind. She is our mother. She is the mother of Mother Church who nurtures us in the sacrament. So we got our work cut out for us, and it means going to Mass regularly in a world that says, oh, you don't have to go maybe a couple of times or whatever we say to ourselves, even because of the sin whisper of the devil. The world's getting harsher, darker, more selfish and demonic. Open our eyes to see what is going on in this country and in the world. She has given us the weapon to turn that around, called the rosary, but faithfulness to what the Church teaches. And I pray, dear Lord, that you send the Holy Spirit to the whole world, but especially to those who are about to receive an increase of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit as they receive the sacrament of confirmation. Fill them up with coraggio, meaning brave love, courage. Fill them up with a desire for unity and peace, especially remembering the gospel that Jesus appears to his disciples and the Blessed Mother in the upper room at Pentecost, and he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, that Holy Spirit comes down and around us from that moment. He's always operative. Our job is to be faithful to the inspirations that he gives us. But that isn't guesswork. I've got to know my faith. I've got to know my catechism. And I've got to know Jesus Christ, especially in the scriptures and in our adoration and private prayer. This is a mandate that we have from heaven itself in a very strange time in history when people are suffering from amnesia instead of remembering who we are. Instruments of peace, children of the light.